Welcome back to Up to the Miners. I'm your host, Connor Ramsden. With me, as always, he's the Arizona Coyotes to my Salt Lake City Mormons. It is TJ Rust, everybody.
Is that what they're going to call them, the Mormons?
I don't know. I hope so.
See, the only thing I know about Utah is that they had the Olympics.
Yep.
And wasn't there a World Cup there?
In Utah?
No, maybe I'm thinking of a different Salt Lake. That was just the Olympics then, I guess. But that was
the
Summer Olympics.
It was the Winter Olympics.
Oh, see,
Salt Lake City. It was 2002. Yeah, okay. Remember Canada won and they put the loony under the ice?
Oh, okay. So it's hockey that I'm thinking of then.
It is. It is hockey. So apparently we're finally done with the Arizona Coyotes. Isn't that nice?
I can't believe it. I want the NHL to say it.
I do too. But apparently they said that the plan is to have this wrapped up before the playoffs start. They want it finished before the playoffs start. So this week it'll be finished.
But that's what I'm saying. So like until they come out and go, because it's a week deadline. That's what they have to meet, I guess. They have to come out with it soon. And I won't believe it's true until they actually, because there was rumors about them going to Austin. There was rumors about them. Remember that there was a big push in like the early 2010s where they were going to go back to Quebec City.
There's been a lot of weird ones. Yeah.
Like there was always something and they always managed to pull through. I think the arena might be the final, you know, the straw that breaks the camel's back.
That apparently that's what it is.
But the second they announce it, it'll be real. Right now, it's definitely seems like it's going to be, but I want the NHL to come out and say they're gone.
So this Salt Lake City guy, remember he wrote that letter a few months ago saying he wanted to get a team. He released some public memo right before the All-Star game.
Yeah.
And apparently the NHL approached Phoenix after Arizona after that and was like, hey, would you be interested in doing this? And they said no.
Right.
And then apparently the NHL, once this offer became a little bit more insane, which I'll read the offer later, and it is insane. They're way overpaying because this guy's just super rich and wants a hockey team. But apparently once that happened, the NHL went to Arizona and said, okay, we can only let you do this if you can tell us when you're going to have an arena. So give us a date where you're going to have an arena. And they said, we can't give you a date where we're going to have an arena. And the NHL said, okay, well, then we're going to take the team back.
Yeah.
And so what's happening is the NHL are buying the Coyotes for $1 billion, which means, I mean, this guy who's done a terrible job owning the Coyotes is about to make a lot of money.
Right, right.
And then Ryan Smith, who's going to buy the team, is going to buy the team from the NHL for $1.2 billion. And then that $200 million will be split among the 31 other owners.
Okay, so the NHL is basically just trying to get out of the Coyotes. That's kind of the point. They're like, you're not meeting your end of the bargain.
Nope.
We're going to buy you out, which remember they wanted to do that with Eugene Melnyk in Ottawa. It happens in sports. I know it happens in soccer a lot, Ramsey. You know this. They buy those people out because
all the time.
All the time. I guess in the NHL's eyes, it's a wash.
They get a super, super rich owner.
Right.
Who's clearly going to invest a ton into this versus having a super cheap owner who hotels were making pay up front because he wasn't paying hotel bills.
Right. But I will say it's a wash in the sense where they're like, we don't have to act. It's still 32 teams.
Yeah.
It's not because let's be honest, the headache of an expansion team. The reason I think that, this is probably common knowledge, but the reason I think that there isn't a new NHL team every other year is because they can't do an NHL expansion draft every other year. Like, now they just get the Coyotes.
Yes.
They don't have to go through the process. That sale or that action can happen a lot quicker than having to go through an expansion draft, naming a new team, putting out, like,
yeah.
Like, I mean, they still have to name
it. It's immediate, though. Like, they're figuring this out in April. They told the players a couple days ago that they're going to Salt Lake City. And then now, like, it's going to be done by next October.
Exactly.
Like, Whereas with the expansion teams, you hear about it. Like, how long did we hear about Vegas before it happened? It was a long time.
If you think about it, I think we heard about it, like, 5 years before.
Yeah. But
I think 2 years before, they were like, it's happening.
Like, yeah, and then a whole year, and then the expansion draft, and then, you know, like, there was a longer runway.
There was such a big lead-up to the expansion draft that I'm pretty sure the free agency before the expansion draft, people were like, oh, we got to, like, think about this.
Yes, yeah, which is good, because you have to for that, right?
That is one of the things that you're like, that has to be done, because yeah. It wouldn't be fair if you just sprung it on them as the playoffs are about to start. Hey, guess what? Utah gets to pick a bunch of your
exactly,
that's insane.
Yeah. So they're gonna play in the arena that the basketball team plays in for the time being, apparently, and they're going to build a hockey specific arena. And this guy basically said, like, it's gonna happen because Salt Lake City is going to host the Winter Olympics again in 2034. Yeah. And so it'll be partially funded for the Olympics. And so then he'll just get, yeah, they'll just play in that arena. So
that's awesome.
Yeah. And this guy's super rich and is basically buying this team because he wants to have a hockey team. So the days of, you know, the 32nd team in the NHL being like a LTIR dumping ground and trash and every good player leaves and all that stuff, like, that's not going to be the case in Utah because he's loaded. Like, they're going to go into free agency and, you know, go after guys.
Right. Well, and that's awesome to see, because, like, it is funny that you bring that up, is Arizona was the dumping ground. Yeah. It was Datsuk. There were guys coming through there.
They had a pretty legendary lineup of.
Well, that's always the joke, right? Is like, if they had an all, like, their overall lineup with players that were in the system or on,
yeah,
like payment from the team, it would be one of the best lineups in the world. But yeah, it's kind of nice that would be eliminated.
Yeah, I agree.
Like, there's nobody to just dump your shit onto.
Yeah. Going to be interesting to see what happens with Columbus now, because just because there's always going to be somebody who's the worst run team in the NHL.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
And they're definitely the front runners. Now that Ottawa's sorted, now that Arizona's sorted.
Yeah.
The only dumbasses left are Columbus.
But I will say, I think, like, they have an exciting team.
I think so too. But so, you know, we did just do the whole Babcock thing.
Well, that's true. You can't really, yeah. That's a mark on your permanent record that you can't erase. Because as much as you would like, you know, when you get in trouble in school and you're like, I would like nobody to know about this.
Yeah.
Like, nobody's going to forget that you decided Mike Babcock was the guy.
And in 2024.
And he didn't even coach a game.
People don't forget.
No.
Anyway, very cool. Very cool thing. I'm excited to see what happens with it.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know about you. I've personally been like a hockey fan where the newest team that had come in a long time was Winnipeg.
Right. Yeah.
And then when Vegas and then Seattle, there was like, it's exciting when new teams or new cities have an opportunity to come up and you know, show their stuff. So I think it's going to look really awesome to see Utah, because I've seen games on TV in mullet.
Yeah.
Like, I get it. It's fun. Yep. But like, I couldn't imagine being a fan.
It's definitely, yeah, that's kind of the thing, right? It's probably really cool if you're one of the, like, 5,000 people who are there, but it is a terrible idea and shouldn't be allowed at all.
Yeah.
I am really excited, though, because I agree with you. I have a lot of fun when, like, a new team comes around. And I know this isn't a new team. It's going to be the Arizona Coyotes. But, like, it is going to be a new team because Arizona Coyotes were spending to the salary cap basement and taking a bunch of LTIR deals just to get there, whereas this team's probably going to be actually, like, a cap team and try to win games. So it is almost like it's a fresh team.
I think it's going to be kind of like Seattle in their second year. Like, they got guys. They signed.
I think it's going to be exactly like that.
They signed $4 million deals for, like, a bunch of guys, and they were like, this is what we're going to do.
Exactly.
And it's basically going to be the Coyotes with, like, a fresh paint job because the players are still going to be the same. But I think they're going to add a little more. They're going to, you know.
Oh, yeah. No, it's going to be exactly like Seattle. Because Seattle's advantage that year going into free agency was that they had a blank cap sheet. And it's not that, you know, Arizona has a blank cap sheet, but they kind of do. They have, like, no long-term contracts except for Clayton Keller because they couldn't afford to pay anybody.
Right, right.
So now, all of a sudden, it is kind of like it's a whole new team.
It's kind of going to, like, the guy's name is Ryan Smith.
Yeah.
He's kind of going to be, like, Exhibit. Like, he's gonna pimp out the Coyotes.
He's gonna be
he's gonna put a fish tank in the trunk.
Just gonna make that joke.
And a microwave in the front seat, and it's gonna be fun.
They're gonna have a fish tank playing on their third pair, and they TV at second
level. I thought that show was always crazy, but one of my favorite parts about it was sometimes they would put, like, video game consoles in the car. They'd be like, and also you got a PS3 with a flat screen. If you put, and I would always be like,
that'd pretty be sick. Yeah.
That'd be pretty sick. The fish tank, I never understood. Like, or like, even like,
dude, you're driving. Stuff. Can you imagine going out to the car to feed your fish?
We put a George Foreman grill where the airbag should be. But you can grill up some nice steakums or something.
Yeah, do you think he left and was like, hey, it's not road legal, by the way. Don't fucking drive that thing.
I don't see how any of them were. But that's the vibe I get from Seattle or Salt Lake. And it's funny. Salt Lake is in the Northwest.
Sort of. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Like,
No,
like,
I don't.
It's like halfway up the country. It's like in the middle of the country, but it's pretty far west. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Perfect. No, I was just trying to think of, because Arizona was at least close to.
I think they're going to have to do some division alignment or whatever, but I don't know what it could be. I haven't thought about it that hard. So.
That's exactly. Okay. That's fine. That's where my brain was going real quick. I was like, oh, I wonder where they would put.
I think that's going to happen, but, so before we get to the Leafs, I have one other thing. I watched the women's world championship gold medal game the other day. Canada versus the USA. Canada won in OT. It was great. Poulin scored two goals, as she does in gold medal games. Apparently, she hadn't scored all tournament.
Oof.
Which, like, she's like, you know, Sidney Crosby. So that is a little bit weird. But then, gold medal game. They're down 4-3, and she just pots two.
Love it. It was where was that at?
It was in the States, but I couldn't really. I don't remember where it was.
Okay, fair enough.
I should have written it down.
Because I did see. Obviously, the news and everything covers that. So I saw the final goal.
Yeah, did you see? But this is what I wanted to bring up. This is an all-time mistake. Did you see how Canada got the power play?
No.
So it's 3-on-3 in overtime. And they played it pretty normal for a bit, and then it got to that point of 3-on-3 overtime where it's just breakaways back and forth. You know, when that sometimes happens.
It's the best part.
So anyway, they were doing the part where it's breakaways back and forth, and Canada missed a breakaway. And just when it was the USA's turn for the obvious breakaway, like their defenseman passed the puck up the boards, I was like, oh, they're going to have a player who's not in the picture right now who's going to pick this up and have a breakaway. She did, and then passed it to another player 2 feet in front of her, And then I went, wait, there can't be two of them. They took a too many men penalty on a breakaway in overtime. And then Canada scored on the power play and won the game.
That's insane.
It's an all-time, like, oops.
That's one of those ones that, like, you can't forgive.
And my my favorite part, too, is that she passed her the puck. She's like, let's just make sure we both touch it so everybody knows us. We have too many women out here.
Oh, my God. That's terrible.
It was really bad, yeah. And especially, like, such a high-level game. And, like, the, you know, it's like the gold medal game of the World Championships. And it's 5-5 in overtime between the two best teams. And you then, like, that's how you lose it.
That's not a mistake you could make.
No, it was brutal. It was brutal.
Fuck. Okay,
I couldn't believe
it.
I've never seen that happen before.
No, I mean, the Leafs are notorious for taking too many men on the ice halls, but like,
they really are.
That, I think, if that happened in a game, I think like people would riot.
Yeah, no, I couldn't believe it actually. Like, everything I've seen covering the game hasn't mentioned it, and I was like, you gotta mention it because it's the craziest way to lose a hockey game I think I've ever seen.
Yeah, yeah.
Too many women on a breakaway in overtime.
Yeah, that's true.
Tough one. All right, let's talk about the Leafs lineup because we got a lot of questions here. So they said that Domi's going to miss the game tomorrow. They said that McMahon's going to miss the two games this week, and they said that Yarncroke is questionable for game one. They said he might be back. And they also said that they expect Domi and McMahon to both play game one.
Okay.
They're just a little banged up.
So they're definitely just taking, like, that's the nice thing about, we've locked up the playoff spot. Yeah. Sure, we might be able to play for home ice, I think, at this point, but it's
unlikely.
It's unlikely, exactly. Rest any guy that's injured.
Yeah.
For God's sakes, like, don't push it.
And I think that's what they're doing.
You're playing one game, you're playing against a team you're going to play in the first round.
Mm-hmm.
And the other game you're playing against someone you might meet in the second round. So it's really not worth it to try and push these guys too far. I mean, I'm sure we'll get to it, but I want to know what your opinion is on if they should play Matthews or even like Samsonov. Like, part of me is like, just play Jones. Like, I don't know where I'm at with that. It's with those guys though that you just mentioned. Yarncroke hasn't been in a while, so
yeah, I think he broke his hand again.
Right.
I think he broke his hand twice. He broke his hand and then he came back for like 3 weeks and then he slid arms first into the boards. I think he broke his hand again.
So, they said he's not going to be ready for game one?
Or they said he might be ready for game one.
Might be, okay. So,
they said Domi is sitting out tomorrow, but he's going to play Wednesday and he's going to play Saturday or whatever. Okay. And they said McMahon is not going to play at all this week, but he's ready for game one.
Okay. All right. So.
Not a big deal.
For the most part, your first game playoff lineup doesn't change by that. Because Yarncroke was already, he hasn't been playing. Like,
yeah, exactly. It's and I mean, he's good enough that he gets in the lineup if he's healthy, obviously. But we'll see.
If he comes back and they're like, hey, his hand's not broken anymore.
Yeah.
And he's good to go. I think 100% he should play. But right now I'm okay with him being out and like not being like, oh, fuck, we haven't – like this is unprecedented.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. We're pretty used to it. He's missed most of the year.
Used to it. Yeah, right? It's been a long time since I feel like I've seen Yarncroke like in a game.
It has been a while. So – I think there's two questions. There's the lineup questions, which we'll talk about for sure. The other question is, what do you do with the top six? Because the Leafs have gone Bertuzzi, Matthews, Domi for like a month now, and it's gone really well. And I guess the question is, do you ride with that and try and spread out the good players? Do you do that? And then this is what I liked. Like, they did this against New Jersey. I thought it was cool. They did that, and then they loaded up line two, which was Nylander, Tavares, and Marner, all and of Marner, them. Yeah, yeah. And they just, like, dominated when they were out there. So you could do that. Or do you do the regular lines that we're used to? You know, not Domi on the first line, Marner on the first line. You know, the second line, Tavares, Nylander, and a guy. Maybe Domi's on the third line, you know.
Yeah, obviously, they're like, we've seen it come, like, in the last couple of games. They're really trying different stuff.
Yeah.
I love Domi on Matthews' line.
It's really worked well, yeah.
It's worked really well. I get, like, I know this was a thing a couple years ago where they're like, Marner and him want to play together. I think they both realized that, hey, like, it, like, we got to try something new.
Yeah.
It's just not working. Like, they're good together, but, like, it's not best for the playoffs. You want it spread out. I like the idea of a first line of Bertuzzi, Domi, Matthews, and then a second line of either Tavares, Nylander, and Nyes, and then, like, Marner. Like, yeah. I like the idea of three good lines. Because when last year we had O'Reilly.
Yep.
So, like, that was a great third line player.
It was.
So it was nice to have a third line with at least, like, somebody that can hang.
Yeah.
Like, that could play in the first line or even play on, like, it was nice to have that advantage. So I think the best move, spread the three of them out, and then Tavares gets lucky with either Nylander or Marner. Like, that's the way it's got to be.
I kind of like the idea of loading up the second. I kind of like having three stars on the second, have a crazy good second line of Nylander, Tavares, Marner, and then your first line, Bertuzzi, Matthews, Domi. It gives teams like a say we're playing Florida, because we are playing Florida.
We are playing Florida.
It gives them a question of, like, who do I match Barkov up with? Do I put Barkov out there against the line with three of their four best players? Or do I put Barkov out there against the guy who scored 70 goals?
Right.
And neither of those, like, you know, you only have one of him.
No, that's a good point.
It could cause coaches some issues, for sure, right? Because when those three guys are out there, it's basically a power play. And when Matthews is out there, Matthews is out there.
Yeah, exactly. No, that's true. You could supercharge two lines and go with that. But the problem with the playoffs is, like, they drag on, and I just worry that, like, it would be nice to have an option. Like, the third line is decent and the fourth line is meh. Yeah. But, like, it would be nice if the third line could at least, like, you're at least guaranteed some ozone time. If Marner or Nylander is on that line.
I think the question, if you spread them out, is who plays center on the third line. Because if you want Kampf to do the shutdown line, I mean, you're not going to put Marner on Kampf's line. That's just kind of a waste of Marner. So that might mean Holmberg. Because we don't really have any other centers. Which I'm happy with, but I'm not sure that Eif is willing to play Holmberg, which might... That might be the problem, right? Like, if you want to play Marner, you want to put some scoring talent with him. So that might be Holmberg and McMahon, or it might be Holmberg and Robertson, even.
Right.
But
who's Robertson's look great. Like,
he has. But, like, are we really going to do Robertson, Holmberg, Marner as a playoff line? You know what I mean? It's just.
That's a good point. That there's definitely a talent gap there.
It's where it gets a little,
It might be too big. Big of a talent gap there where, like, it doesn't help Marner.
You start thinking, like, are we just wasting him playing him here?
Exactly. Okay. All right. No, but that's a good point.
It's a tough call. I think what's good about it is that now we have some options, right? And so he can try something, and then if it doesn't work, he can try something else, which is good.
Well,
we haven't always had that.
No, and it is nice because we've realized that Marner and we found a different replacement for Marner with Domi. Like, it's, it is nice that we're not kind of forced to play them together.
Yeah. They're not, like, attached at the hip, which they have been for a long time.
For a long time they had been. And sometimes I think during the playoffs, a lot of people were like, maybe split them up.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it just never happened.
I think it's good to have options like we do right now. I think, you know, if it's not working, now we can change it, which who knows if we actually will, but it's good to know that we could do it. I have a feeling that our first line is going to be Bertuzzi, Matthews, Marner. I'm just like,
I have a real feeling
that Keefe is going to go back to his comfort blanket, and that's Marner and Matthews.
Oh man, that's so interesting.
We'll see, but I really see that.
I hope he's smarter than that.
I don't know about you,
but like I've enjoyed, he's been a good coach, but like sometimes he makes decisions and it's funny when it's like game 65 or game 54 and you're like, okay, that's a weird decision, but I guess you're, and
do whatever. Yeah.
But now like, don't fuck this up.
So, let's talk quickly before we take a break about who we want in the lineup. And I guess what we just said kind of leads into it a little bit, because it does kind of depend how you set up the top lines, who comes into the lineup on the bottom lines, because guys fit with guys and guys don't fit with guys, right? Like, I mean,
you sound like my pastor.
I know. Yeah. aside from Bobby McMahon, who can kind of play on all four lines, I'm not sure the Leafs have anybody who can play on all four lines. Like, if you're playing with Camp, you need to be defensive because he's going to get some hard fourth line minutes and, you know, whatever. And your goal is to not get scored on and get off the ice. If you're going to play on the third line, I mean, if the third line center's Domi, we got to put some guys who can score goals with them. If the third line center's Holmberg, you can kind of do a little bit of both. So it is kind of interesting how to fit the puzzle together, you know?
Right. Okay, that makes sense. I mean, when I think about the bottom six or the bottom three, mm-hmm. Reeves is in it.
Yeah, surprisingly. I think we can just say that that's going to happen no matter what.
It's going to happen 100%.
So even like, aside from like whatever we may or may not think, I think that's happening.
It has nothing to do with what anybody thinks. It has just to do with, especially because it's Florida.
Yeah.
At least for
game one, I think that's 100% happening. And we'll see what happens after that.
100% think it's going to be game one. And if he blows a tire and lets in a breakaway, then we can call it. But he's going to be out there game one.
Yeah.
And
he's going to beat someone up.
I'm kind of okay with it.
Yep. He's going to run someone over. He's going to beat someone up. He may fuck up and cost us a goal. And it's going to be the Ryan Reeves thing. It's fine.
Yep.
It gets a little bit interesting, right? If Yarncroc's good to go or if Yarncroc's not good to go. I think Nyes is in the lineup no matter what as well. So it's really down to Robertson, Dewar, Holmberg. I guess Gregor, but like really, are we going to play fucking Gregor? We're not going to play Gregor. So Robertson, Dewar, and Holmberg. And I guess, again, it depends where the spots open, because if the spots open next to Domi, it should be Robertson.
Yep.
If the spots at center, it should be Holmberg. If the spots next to Kampf, it should probably be Dewar.
Okay, I see what you're saying. Yeah.
So I guess it kind of depends on who's on what they do with the top six, who ends up playing in the bottom six, right?
Right. Yeah, I mean, if you're spreading out these lines so much that the bottom two lines are getting affected, like if you're spreading out the top two lines and you're putting like a Nylander or a Marner down there, it's gonna fuck up kind of what we've been expecting the third and fourth line to be. Robertson's got to play.
I'm not sure Robertson's going to play.
He's been good. I know.
And he's scoring a lot of goals.
I think he should play.
Yeah. I've really liked how he's looked the last month or so, too. Look, I think he looks dangerous, but it depends on what the third line is.
But this is this
if it's
is
Holmberg
a great problem.
And a guy, then yeah.
Right. But this is a great problem to have.
It is.
Like, as much as we're struggling to try and justify who's going to be in which spot, it's a great problem to have.
It is. And we will try to solve that problem and the defense when we come back. And we're back. And, okay, let's talk about the defense real quick, because that's also interesting. And all we figured out about the forwards was it kind of depends on health and a bunch of stuff that we can't figure out. I suppose the defense does too, because some of the, like, Edmondson's injured and Liljegren just came back.
But Liljegren got hurt against Detroit.
And McCabe got hit in the face, but I think he's probably fine. He always gets hit in the face, so that doesn't even...
No,
like, can he just get through 1 week without bleeding all over himself?
Yeah, he seems to be like putting himself in bad positions.
So the only guys that I'm sure of are Riley and Jake McCabe are guarantees
to play.
Yes,
that's fair.
Everybody else, pick four guys.
Yeah, Labushkin.
Yeah, we have Bush, we have Edmondson, Gio, Liljegren, Brody, Benoit.
No, but what I'm saying is, like, Bush will play.
I think so, too, but I don't really want him to. I kind of think Benoit's better.
Yeah, but I think he's still going to, like, he'll be in the lineup.
I don't think he's, I know, but I really don't think he's as good. I think Brody should play. I know he's been kind of shit sometimes lately, but I think he should definitely play.
I'm loving Benoit. I'm loving Edmondson.
I think Edmondson should absolutely play 100% if he's healthy. I think you might be right about Bush, but I think, like, if it was up to me, it would be Riley, McCabe, Edmondson, Liljegren, Benoit, Brody.
Okay.
I would do Riley, Brody, McCabe, Benoit, Edmondson, Liljegren.
So no Bush, no Gio.
Yeah.
Okay.
No Bush, no Gio, no Timmons. But I think you're right that they're going to play Bush. I think they're not going to play Benoit, and I think that's a mistake because I think he's better.
Well, okay, so I've thought about this a little bit too. If you're going purely on – like, okay, we want a right side guy and a left side guy.
Yeah.
Then logically it would be Riley, Bush.
Yes.
McCabe,
Brody.
Well, I was going to say the problem with Brody is he's left-handed, but he played right. So yeah. McCabe, Brody, and then Benoit, Liljegren?
Edmondson, Liljegren.
Oh, Edmondson, Liljegren.
Yeah.
That's the only way I see it, because Brody's the only guy that can play right.
I know. I think so too.
Right?
Yeah. I think we have found what the only question is. And it's, do you play Bush or do you play Benoit? Because everything else seems obvious.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
I mean, like, no offense to Gio and Timmons, but I don't think they're...
I've watched Timmons play a bunch of times. Like, I've seen him play a couple games here down the stretch.
He's been okay.
He's been decent, but...
I'm glad we have him in case.
No. That's the thing, is that, again, we talk... Like, I said it before, right before we signed off, it's a great problem to have.
Yeah.
It's a great problem to have with the defense, too, but...
Guys get hurt every year.
And I guarantee somebody's going to get hurt in the first round on the
100%. 100%.
So we'll be thanking God for Timmons and for Gio.
Yeah.
I just think those are the guys that need to be sat out. And Benoit is a nice, like, what do they call it? Ace up the sleeve. Like, you know, someone you can pull out and still be a decent replacement.
I just feel like him and Bush do the same thing. And I feel like Benoit's better at it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, Timmons is out not because he's worse, but because he does a different thing, and we need it less.
Yes, Benoit, you're right. Benoit seems like Bush has made his money.
Yeah.
So I think Benoit is still trying to, like, prove that he can be that guy.
Yeah.
And Bush might have a little bit more of the reputation, and he's like, Anaheim's paying me $2 million. Like, he's like, I don't need to really push it here.
I think with Boosh too, it's a little bit of like, I mean, you traded for me, so you should probably play me because
the same thing. It's the same.
You don't usually trade for a guy and then take him out of the lineup.
Yeah, that's 100% true.
Edmondson, I've really enjoyed actually. Yeah, I know he's been hurt and not hurt, but he's been really good.
I've liked him. There was one goal the other night
last where he got cooked. Wide. He got cooked. Yeah. I know exactly what you're talking about. It was very bad.
But other than that, I've liked his game. He's big. Cross checks. He's got, I mean, the reach.
Yeah. That's seriously, sick. That's why it's hard to, otherwise he would get cooked out wide all the time. It's actually hard to do because he's so long.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Sammy's going to get game one. We all know this.
Wool's been too shaky.
Yeah, it's going to be Samsonov. It's going to be Wool if we need him. And the third goalie might be Matt Murray. It might not be Martin Jones.
Okay, so you – okay, that's funny. Oh, we got to talk about this. So you texted – did he play?
He played. They wanted a shootout. He let in 5 goals. I didn't see any of it. I don't know how it went. They won, so I don't know. But, who knows? I'm just saying, if you're down to your third goalie and it's Martin Jones or Matt Murray, I actually don't really care at that point because we're probably not going to win.
No, that's always – I love – there is that when free agency hits or, like, the trade deadline comes along, everybody's like, you need a third goalie.
Yeah.
Because if shit hits the fan, it's only 2 guys away. But the funny part is I think every team acknowledges that if we've gotten to the third goalie, it's kind of over.
Yeah. I mean, like, Martin Jones is probably the best third goalie we've had in a long time.
Oh, sure. It's
in spite of him not being very good. He's, like, a really good third goalie.
Yeah. But, like, I think everybody acknowledges, like, if it gets to that point.
Yeah, you're screwed.
Like, we should not bother playing the games.
I agree. All right, so let's do let's talk about these series real quick. Let's talk about we'll start with Leafs Panthers because it's one of the most guaranteed series, as well as the one that the Leafs are playing in. Florida could still technically pass Boston, but they won't. So,
well, isn't Boston playing tonight?
They are, and Boston's playing. I think Boston's playing someone bad in their last game. So if it really comes down to it, like, they'll just win. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Like, they're playing Washington tonight, who actually needs that win. So, you know, we'll see. But if the situation arises where Boston actually loses tonight and they need to win that game, then they probably just will. And it'll be whatever.
No, I because when we were talking and you were like, oh, we could do a playoff preview, I was like, yeah, we could.
Yeah.
For the kind most... of. Yeah, no, I agree, kind of. But for the most part, like, the West, I think, is the most set.
Yeah. They play Boston plays Ottawa tomorrow.
Oh, okay, so.
Yeah. And I think they only need to win one game to clinch, so.
Yeah, so it's probably pretty guaranteed.
Yeah. So let's do Leafs-Panthers. Florida's been really good this year. They kind of picked up where they left off after the playoffs and not after the actual regular season where they weren't very good last year. The thing that I find interesting about this as a playoff rematch is most of the reason that the Leafs lost last year was that Bobrovsky stole 2 games in Toronto. Right. I think the games in Florida and game 5, Florida was like value for their wins. They were really good and deserved to win those games. Game 1 and game 2, the Leafs were way better and Bobrovsky won those games. So I guess the question is Bobrovsky going to do that again? And it's hard to tell because he's like the most unpredictable goalie of all time.
Yeah, he's been good this year.
He has been good this year.
So we know he's hot.
Yes. But last year he was terrible all regular season. They had to play Alex Lyon just to get into the playoffs.
No,
and then he was amazing. So like, you can't tell.
No. But he was hot.
Yep, he was.
like my point is he was hot the second he started and he's been hot now.
Yep.
So do you really want to go into a playoff series with a really hot goalie? And one that, you know, when he is hot is a beast.
Yep. That's true. He is terrifying.
Are we going? So are we doing line by, like, are we doing goalies against goalies right now? Like, what?
Have too much time, so we got to, you know, we'll touch on all these series kind of lightly. But I just thought that was the biggest question because we watched these two teams play a playoff series last year, and the main reason Florida won is that he won those two games. And so the question is, like, can he do that again? And I mean, he can. Will he? I don't know.
Yeah.
I guess the other way to look at it too is, can Florida play the way they played in games 3, 4, and 5 for the whole series this time?
Right. Right.
Because that could be a thing too. Maybe they're just better now.
Yeah, that's true. But I mean, they've added Tarasenko, Ekman-Larsson. Yeah. Like, it's a bit of a beefier team than we faced last year, I would say.
Yeah, I think so.
I guess Gudas is gone, but like,
yeah,
like, I don't know. They've got some pieces.
Worse. They're about as good. They're pretty much the same, I think.
I don't think they're definitely not worse. No. They might be a little bit better.
Yeah.
Just skill wise. But the problem with Florida is they've got Ben Bennett. They've got Lomberg. Like, yeah, they're still fucking dicks.
Yeah, they are.
They've got Kachuk. Like, come on.
Yeah.
So losing Gudas didn't lose.
I mean, we talked about it earlier, but like, there's a reason that Ryan Reeves is gonna play game one, and we're both like positive that that's gonna happen. Like, we're not like, you know, because anybody else, almost not anybody else. If it was Boston, we'd probably say the same thing. But there are teams that if the Leafs are playing Carolina, I think we'd be having a different conversation about whether Ryan Reeves is gonna play game one.
Ramson, if they were playing the Rangers, like, that was an option. Exactly. Too, need fucking Ray Reeves.
Exactly.
But we know what the Panthers and we know what the Bruins bring. And honestly, even Tampa.
Yep. I agree. Although Tampa, I think we learned our lesson after the 1 year with Clifford and Simmons. And that didn't work. It didn't go well.
Yeah.
But yeah, I agree. This is going to be a really tough series for the Leafs. And it's going to be really, really important that they win the non-Tkachuk Barkov minutes.
That's the key is going to be, well, for us, I think it's going to be a bit of goaltending.
Yeah, that's huge.
And I think you're right. I think it's going to be the first, second line, like, I think we'll win.
Yeah.
But it's the bottom six scoring.
Yeah. It's like Sam Bennett versus, like, you know, that line. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because, like, we know what Tkachuk and Reinhart and Barkov are going to do.
No, it's going to be the Lombergs versus the Reeves. Like that.
It's going to be that stuff, yeah.
And
our defense holding up against the forecheck, and if they can do it better than they did last year. Now, I'll say last year, the Leafs had a better group at moving the puck, which meant that they could move the puck quicker against the forecheck. This year, though, they have a much bigger, much more physical defense who could maybe just weather it a different way, which I guess is a different problem for Florida than what we presented them last year. Last year, it was a lot more like, you know, Justin Hall and Giordano and those guys trying to move the puck quickly. This year, it's going to be Joel Edmondson and Ilya Labushkin. And, you know, it's going to be guys who are not as worried about getting hit, let's say.
Right. Okay.
So it's a different – I don't know if it's going to work better or not, but it's a different approach to it for sure.
Yeah. That's a good point.
Yeah. We'll see what happens. Hopefully,
Well, I do you want to do a prediction for these matchups, or do you want to?
We can if you want. Do you want to do a prediction? Let's do a prediction.
I'll say Leafs Panthers. I'm going to say Leafs in 7.
I was going to say Leafs in 7.
Shut up.
I was going to say Leafs in seven, which seems like a bad pick, but for some reason, I think they're capable of winning this series. I just think I can't see it being a short series either way, really, to be honest. I know it was five games last year, but like that was kind of weirdly fluky that it was five games. I just can't really see it.
One was overtime.
Yeah. And two of them, the Leafs were better and lost, which is weird. That probably shouldn't have happened. So they should have won at least one of those games, and then it would have been a six-game series, assuming Florida still won, which I think they probably would have. But, you know,
the way that series
went, Florida got a lot stronger as it went. You could see them winning game six or winning game seven against Toronto, I think, last year. But I think that it was weird that it was that short.
Well, and if you look at like they were on a heater.
Yeah, yeah.
Like coming into the playoffs, and then they
beat the best team in the league.
They beat the best team in the league in game, like the adrenaline from that game seven.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. So I think I think nobody will underestimate them now.
That too. Yeah. I think this will be a big one. I think, you know what? I think it's going to go six or seven. And if it's going to go seven, I'll just pick the Leafs because it'd be more fun, make me happier.
Is it not crazy that like we're a week away?
It is actually really crazy. I'm very excited. Okay, let's do Bruins Lightning. Now, these are two teams that we know extremely well.
Surprisingly well.
I think this is a pretty easy one. I do, yeah, because the Lightning this year are not as good as they have been past years. I think most of their depth is gone. I think a lot of the guys who they've paid big money to extend, I think some of that stuff's starting to wear on their team a little bit, in that they just don't – they used to be a lot deeper through the lineup than they are right now. And one of their big guys who they paid a ton of money to is Sergachev, and he's not playing, obviously, because he broke his leg like however long ago or whatever. And basically the whole season, they've been terrible every single time Nikita Kucherov steps on the bench to have a drink of water. And I feel like it's not a good thing to be a one-line team against the Bruins. I think that's actually the thing that they beat the best, is one-line teams.
I think you know this about me. I've been on the stats page a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, if you want to look it up, great. But if not, just trust me. Steven Stamkos is plus minus.
Okay. What is it?
Like, it's unless it's changed in like the last week that I've looked at it, it's in the negatives.
Yeah.
And like they are allowing a bunch of goals, which is shocking for a Tampa Bay team.
They're as a team, their goal differential is massively negative when Kucherov is not on the ice. Like massively negative.
Like if we're going to go the same route as the Leafs and Panthers series, if we're doing line by line, like they have the top line and that's it. And the Bruins, if you look at their plus minus, there's a huge gap there. So it's not like, I understand you can't dismiss Tampa.
Yep.
But
this will be a hard one.
The Bruins are chugging.
And like, I'll say it this way too. Like you kind of think like maybe the one way that Tampa can pull this one out is if Vasilevsky goes crazy, which could happen.
But
Vasilevsky has not had a great year. Although, and like, you know, he could turn it on for sure. It's Andre Vasilevsky. But the problem with that is Boston has two goalies who have been incredible this year. And odds are at least one of those two goalies is going to be really good in the playoffs. And so even if Vasilevsky's good, I feel like Boston, like you never have guaranteed good goaltending unless you have Connor Hellebuck, basically. But I feel like Boston, because they have two guys, kind of do have guaranteed good
goaltending. No, exactly. If they both get cold at the same time, people will be like, it's because of the eclipse.
Yeah.
Like it's like there's a problem. Like
it has to be something insane.
like something went wrong, right?
I totally agree.
Like that's the thing. But Vasilevsky's one guy.
Yeah.
He's honestly the best in the league. But if he's off, sorry, so, that's your series.
Yeah. I'm gonna say Boston in six, and that's me being nice and thinking that there's a game where Kucherov gets like a hat trick or some shit.
I think Boston in six is fair. Boston in five is fair too.
Yeah.
And I mean, if that's the case, like I know we're not. Well, this might be a summer conversation because it hasn't happened yet. But if that is the case, I think we start talking about the downfall of Tampa.
Well, and like, we start talking about where is Steven Stamkos going to end up this summer?
Well, I don't want his negative six.
I know, but so like he's. What if he leaves? He might leave.
I don't want him on my team.
He might leave.
I don't want him on the Leafs if he's negative six with like 100 points.
So let's do the Hurricanes and the Islanders because that series is probably happening. The Islanders can clinch a playoff spot if they win today against New Jersey. They're currently winning 3-1 with just the third left. So
that's awesome.
Let's just assume that the Islanders are in and that they're playing Carolina. Well, again, okay. For like the 17th time. This is like the Leafs and the Bruins.
Yeah, which is insane. But like, I think a lot of people thought the Islanders were dead in the water.
They were dead in the water. Yeah. And they zombied their way back yet again.
And they were like, hey, you know who we need? A French Canadian goalie.
I can't believe that Patrick Waugh is like an objectively bad coach. I can't believe that it worked.
Ramsden, it worked.
It did work.
I will say, and maybe we cover this on a different podcast, but like the Oilers fired who'd they fire? Fuck, the coach.
Woodcroft.
I was going to say Raycroft. and completely was that going to happen anyway?
Probably,
like,
yeah.
Part of me, like,
with that one Islanders, actually definitely was going to happen. I'm not sure about the Islanders one, but the Oilers' turnaround was they were like massively outplaying teams and just losing because the goaltending was terrible.
Okay.
The fact that the only thing that changed for the Oilers is that they got Calvin Pickard or whatever, and he started making saves. That was literally the only thing.
Okay.
Woodcroft got screwed by bad goaltending and. He had not had bad. Remember how bad the goaltending was at the beginning of the year? I feel like everybody forgot because it was so long ago. But
well, no, we did a whole tiny nipples bit.
Well, they were letting in like 8 goals a game.
We had Jack Campbell in a cold tub.
McDavid had like 1,000 points, and they were losing every week.
Yeah, we knew it was going downhill.
That shit was crazy. Basically, these teams played last year, and the Hurricanes won in six. And Carolina, since they got Jake Gensel at the deadline, have been just about like on. They've been probably the best team in the league since the deadline. So I'm going to go ahead and pick Carolina in six again because I just watched it last year.
Yeah, and the problem is if you're the Islanders, you're like stoked that you squeak in.
Yeah,
but
and they went on a bit of a heater to get in, and they're less hot than the Hurricanes are. So, like, even the heater that they went on to make it is not that impressive relative to Carolina.
And I'm sorry, like, the lineups...
Yeah, it's not close.
It's not close. It's not fucking close.
Carolina in six, Carolina in five. I don't know. What do you think? Same thing?
Carolina in five, easy.
Yeah. All right. Rangers versus someone. I don't even know if we want to touch on this one, but I have no idea who's going to make the playoffs. And they're going to play the Rangers, and the Rangers are probably going to win because I think all those teams are bad.
Okay, well, okay, so let's – is it Washington or it's Pittsburgh?
It's Washington, Pittsburgh, or Detroit, although Detroit are losing to Montreal right now, so probably not Detroit. So I think it's Washington or Pittsburgh. And I would pick – the Rangers to beat both of those teams.
Pretty easily. 100%.
So I don't even know if we need to talk about it more than that. I think Pittsburgh has a better chance
than Washington. I agree. Yes,
but I think they both lose pretty badly.
Yeah.
Okay. That's good. We got a quick one out of this. let's do the other 100%er. Winnipeg versus Colorado will 100% happen. So let's talk about it.
I think, look, if we want to, you know, kind of rush, I think it's going to be Colorado.
So I would have said the same thing all year, and my immediate reflex when I looked at this was pick Colorado. But Colorado has lost 7 of their last 10. Winnipeg has won 6 games in a row. They just beat Colorado 7-0 like 2 days ago. So I don't know. Kind of thinking the Jets might have them here.
Yeah, I guess, but I feel like Colorado still has that like the playoffs are a new season. Like I think they'll come in and kind of like drive the game, and Winnipeg will be shocked at how into it they are, as opposed to game 78 in the regular season.
Maybe. I think that I'm doing something that you might be doing now. I was doing something that you might be doing now, which is thinking of Colorado as the team who just won the cup. But they're not the team who just won the cup. They're the team who just lost to Seattle in the first round. That's who they actually are. And they're the team who's like falling apart right now, and Winnipeg is super hot and they have the better goalie. So I'm going to pick Winnipeg. I was going to pick Colorado, but I'm going to pick the, I don't even, is it even an upset? I guess Winnipeg's technically the higher seed, but it does feel like an upset.
No. But it's the same thing. Kind of what we were talking about, like Tampa and Boston.
Yeah.
There's a pedigree there.
Yeah.
That's interesting. Okay. Okay, well, I think it's going to be Colorado in 6.
That's good, though. We can't agree on all of them. Otherwise, it's boring.
No, we can't.
So I'm glad we got there. Okay. Vancouver versus Nashville, I think, is another one that is very likely to happen. Nashville went on that weird run after they weren't allowed to go to the Sphere. Vancouver is... the weirdest team in the playoffs, kind of. Like, I genuinely don't know which team's going to show up on any night.
Yeah. The problem with Vancouver is they're kind of Leaf-esque. You know, where
they
you're
really
like...
are, yeah.
Where they're like, you're like, they're good. Like, they have to be good.
Yeah.
But sometimes they have real stinkers.
Yeah.
And I'll be watching the game late at night, and I'll be like, this is very Leaf-esque. Like,
yeah. Have games where they just completely don't show up at all. Like, even a little bit.
Which, exactly. And, like, that's not an option in the playoffs. But, like, it's not a good precursor.
Yeah. I'm going to pick Vancouver because Thatcher Demko is amazing.
Yeah.
And he's always amazing in the playoffs, especially. And I feel like, you know, like, worst-case scenario, even if they do kind of play a lot worse than we're expecting, he'll kind of give them enough to beat Nashville. I'm not that confident in Vancouver after this series, but I think they can win this one. Let's just put it that way. Like, and also I think if somehow Nashville ends up fucking up the wild card position or something and gets passed by the other wild card team, I think Vancouver might be fucked. But
yeah. Yeah.
We'll talk about that. I think Vancouver in 5, I don't know. I think they're going to win.
Vancouver 6.
Yeah. All right, let's do Edmonton and Los Angeles. We have 5 minutes, so. And we have 2 series, 5 minutes. Edmonton, LA. We've seen this one multiple times. It's been close every time. It's been good every time. And I think the Oilers have won every time. It's not confirmed. Extremely likely.
No, the Oilers have won every time.
Yes. Yeah. It's always close and the Oilers always win.
Dubois is terrible.
Like the worst player ever.
Kopitar, I think, still has a little bit of juice in the tank.
He's weirdly still incredible. And Quentin Byfield actually looks really good this year.
Oh, dude, I forgot to tell you. So Brandt Clark?
Yeah.
So... You know Brent Clark. He's playing on the
friends with my cousin.
Shut up.
Like actually friends with my cousin, yeah.
Really?
Grew up in the same town, yeah.
Come on,
we only got 4 minutes here, buddy.
Okay, sorry. I watched him score. So it was overtime in like a Sunday afternoon game against Boston.
Yeah.
Not too long ago.
Yep.
He takes a terrible penalty in overtime. Just dog shit. They kill the penalty, comes out of the box, gets the puck, breakaway, goal. Yep. This kid is unbelievable.
He's honestly, he's an incredible player. And I'm still mad that Kanda didn't take him to the World Juniors that one time. I thought that was crazy.
He's like,
he's ridiculous. He's so good.
He's unbelievable.
He's such a good player.
Do I think Edmonton is still going to win? Yes.
Yeah.
Am If I'm an LA Kings fan, am I excited? Yes.
Hell yeah. About everything that isn't Pierre-Luc Dubois.
Byfield, Clark.
Yeah.
Like, those are two cornerstones that you can work around. That goal from Byfield, that goal, like,
yeah.
you know the one.
Yep, I know exactly what one you're talking about.
These kids are unbelievable. They're going to do great stuff for LA.
Yep. The only thing with LA is you just wonder what would have happened if they'd kept Vilardi or whatever and not traded him for the Pierre-Luc Dubois. But whatever. Oilers in six, I'd say. It's going to be close because it's always close. They play it close every time.
Well, I was going to say Oilers 6 too, yeah.
And then I guess the best series, the team who might win the President's Trophy versus the defending Stanley Cup champions who are better than they were last year, the Dallas Stars versus the Vegas Golden Knights.
Are the Stars going to win the President's Trophy?
I think they're going to come second, but they're right there. They could win if New York loses. So they're like one point back.
That's okay. So Dallas is like out and like not sneaky because it's clearly been all season, but they're unbelievable.
Yeah. And Tanev at the deadline, good pickup. Jake Ottinger has been really good lately, which he hasn't been all season. But then on the other side, you have the team that won the cup last year, plus Mark Stone's playing game one, plus Thomas Hertl, plus Noah Hanifin.
It's not fair, is it?
No, it's not fair. This Grimson, is another one where if you pick the wild card team to beat the first place team, it's not an upset, and it doesn't count.
It doesn't count because everybody would be like, it's the cup champs.
But yeah,
like,
everybody's going to pick Vegas.
But I will say, Vegas has put themselves in a terrible spot.
They have.
Like, by having to play, like, I understand they're like, oh, injuries this, injuries that. By having to play Dallas in the first round, yeah. You have extreme, like, if you, like, there's you a chance. You made
this so much harder on yourself.
You've made it so hard.
Also, like, they fucked themselves because they got out of the Pacific, which is the bad division, and entered the Central, which is the good division. So in the second round, you have to play the Jets or Colorado instead of, like, Vancouver or the Oilers.
Fuck.
I am picking Vegas, I think, but I don't know.
Okay. Okay, you're picking Vegas. I'm picking Dallas. Sick. Dallas is seven.
I love it. I was going to say seven. Let's go. All right, buddy. We're you're going to have to sing us out here. We're running out of time.
It's up to the Miners podcast. I'm getting married.